How much oil is still in the ground?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The International Energy Agency is scheduled to release its World Energy Outlook today. Meantime, there are charges this morning that the agency's figures are false and that the world is much closer to running short of oil than the IEA lets on. That's a claim in this morning's Guardian newspaper in London. Joining us live from London now, Marketplace's Stephen Beard. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Stephen, what are the details of what the Guardian is reporting?
The paper says that the IEA's reports on oil and gas reserves, which are widely followed by governments around the world, are not to be trusted. The paper says that it's spoken to a whistleblower at the agency, a senior official speaking anonymously, and he says the agency has deliberately underplayed the rate of decline in oil and gas reserves.
And what would be the IEA's motive in doing that?
The whistleblower says the agency has been pressured to do this by the U.S. American officials, allegedly, were afraid that the true picture of the reserves would cause panic buying and could hit stock markets for six, because the world would then realize we're going to hit constraints on oil supplies much sooner than expected.
So what does the whistleblower say about the real picture of oil reserves?
Well, the IEA in its last World Outlook forecast that oil production would not peak until the year 2030, and then it would reach 105 million barrels a day, sufficient to meet anticipated demand. The whistleblower says many people in the agency believe that is false, that the world will struggle to pump 95 million barrels a day at best, and it will reach that peak earlier than expected. I called the agency in Paris this morning. Nobody was available to comment on the Guardian story.
Okay. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joining us live from London. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Bill.
And let's do this morning's numbers. European markets are mixed this morning. Asian stocks gained about 0.5% earlier today. And Wall Street continues to be this weird place where the U.S. has double-digit unemployment and stocks keep rising. Investors enjoying those low interest rates and a weak dollar. Yesterday, stocks jumped 2%, so the Dow hit its highest level in more than a year, gaining another 203 points and closing at 10,227. European antitrust regulators this morning formally objected to the $7 billion sale of Sun Microsystems to Oracle. That was expected, and it presents an interesting challenge for the Obama administration, which has been promising to vigorously pursue antitrust cases. The Sun-Oracle deal has cleared here. Now U.S. and European regulators are officially at odds.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. By CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com.
Tomorrow is Veterans Day, and tonight, like every night, an estimated 130,000 vets will not have a place to live. About a third of all homeless men once served in the military. In Washington today, a Senate Housing Subcommittee will focus on ways to help. Marketplace's John Dimsdale has our story.
The number of homeless veterans has been coming down over the past 5 years, but the Veterans Affairs Department is worried those improvements will vanish in an economy with double-digit unemployment and with more soldiers returning from war. Next year, the VA will spend over $3 billion on programs to reduce homelessness, including mental health treatments, college degree programs, more subsidized housing, and small business loans for veteran-owned enterprises.
Unfortunately, when we came around in the Vietnam era, they didn't have any of that.
John Rowan is president of the Vietnam Veterans of America. He's optimistic the VA can reach its goal of ending veterans' homelessness in 5 years.
If they do the right thing by the newer veterans dealing with their post-traumatic stress disorder, they can get them in good enough shape to be able to take care of themselves.
Yesterday, the White House announced a government-wide effort to help vets identify job opportunities and reintegrate into civilian society. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, the media's version of military service continues to sell and sell well. The latest version of the video game Call of Duty hit the shelves just a few hours ago. It may become the best-selling video game of all time, bringing in about $500 million in the next couple of months. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has more.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is a computer fantasy that plays out in virtual war zones. The video game is the latest installment in a popular series.
They call it a first-person shooter. They've been able to evolve this genre to levels not seen before in this sector.
That's Jesse Divnick with the market research firm Electronic Entertainment Design and Research. He says strong demand for Call of Duty could boost sales of other video games.
We play a great video game and we instantly start to think, hey, what else is out there that I can play?
But it seems other video game makers don't want to rely on a consumer tailwind. Divnick says some rivals unveiled competing games months ago, and others are planning to hold off their releases until after the holidays, thus avoiding a battle with the shoot-'em-up game. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
By the way, the company that makes Call of Duty is Activision Blizzard, and their big rival is Electronic Arts. They do Beatles Rock Band and some of the big sports games. Yesterday, after the bell, Electronic Arts reported a quarterly loss and said it's cutting 17% of its workforce, 1,500 jobs. And finally, we're always reporting about unemployment. Here's news of a job opening. The National Park Service is looking for a new kennels manager at Denali National Park and Preserve. I must tell you, though, it's not for everyone. In the summertime, you're giving talks to the 50,000 tourists who visit the kennels, so you really need to be a people person. In the winter, you're mushing the dogs thousands of miles into the dark subarctic Denali wilderness, so it would really help to not be a people person. Good luck. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.